We're continuing our series this summertime of Liberty Film Festival. And last week we talked about the movie Taken, and we you know, you think these things have been just put in the minds of directors and producers and writers, but God has a lot more to say about these way before these guys ever came up with the ideas of what they were. And this week's one is the Transformer. Okay, this crowd over here, you're like, Alvin's looking at me like, I don't know what he's on about. Amen. Well, listen, God is a transformer. And he transforms. And he uses people to bring transformation into families, into lives, into cities, into nations. He is an incredible transformer. And it's not just, like when you look at these movies, and you look at this movie in particular, your man says just in that clip there, it looks like a truck. But it wasn't a truck, it was a robot. And it was a robot of great power. It was in disguise. Transformers. Every time I say it, you have to sing it, right? See, what you see with your natural eye is not always the reality of what is. What you see with your natural eye is not always the reality of what really, really is. It's a truck. No, it's not. It's a robot. Can I tell you that God is still in the business of transforming lives? You see it from the beginning of the Bible. It says in the beginning of the Bible that that the earth was there in Genesis, and it was null and void. And God looks at it and starts speaking. He starts transforming the things that are null and void and darkness. And he starts bringing life and light. He starts bringing transformation from the beginning right to the end. In Revelations it says that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Transformation of lives all the way through the scriptures. And this morning we're going to look at a man called Gideon. And you can turn in your scriptures, in your Bible, to Judges chapter 6 is where we find this man's life. If you haven't got a Bible, please tell us and we will provide you with a Bible. You heard what Prince says, and it looked like a bit like Denzel Washington up there, didn't he, Prince? And he said that how he has seen transformation in his life is by reading the Word of God daily. It's by getting into our minds and hearts what God has to say about us and about himself and about circumstances. And the Bible is like this. If you have it sitting at home on your desk or in your bedroom gathering dust, you will never know the power of the Bible, of the Word of God, unless you actually pick it up. It's like going around with dirty hands knowing that you have soap in the bathroom. And as long as that soap is in the bathroom and you don't apply it to your dirty hands, you will never know the cleansing power that is in the soap. And the same with the scriptures. You can have 20 Bibles. You can know the Bible in there, upside down, inside out. But unless you take it and start rubbing it into your lives, you will never know the transforming power of the very Word of God. Say amen. So if you haven't got one, please ask us for one, and we will provide you with one. Here we go, Judges chapter 6. It says, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them over into the hands of Midian for 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves dens which were in mountains and caves and strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown seed that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. They would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. And they would leave no substance in Israel. They would take their sheep, their ox, and their donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and tents, and they would come like locusts. For the number of them were so great, not only them, but those of their camels as well. And they came into the land, and they devastated it. Last week we talked about the locusts, the devastation that locusts bring into a place. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Now it came about that when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel. And he said to them, this is what God says. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt and brought you from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you this land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites whose land you live in. But you have not obeyed me. It's an incredible scene as of now. God brings them up out of Egypt. Egypt was a place for the Israelites where they were in slavery, where they had to work for pittance, where they were beaten, they were downtrodden, they were on the last legs, and they cried out to God. A huge principle there straight away for us. Cry out to God and he answers. And the people cried out to God when they were in Egypt, and he hears them, and he raises up Moses, the great warrior, the great leader Moses, and he goes in, and you know the story, he confronts Pharaoh, and he says, you let my people go. And eventually he led the people out of bondage. And there they were, they go from with Moses into the desert, and then another leader is risen up. His name is Joshua. Joshua takes them over into the promised land, which he had promised the Israelites. The land flowing with milk and honey. They went in, they took over Jericho, they took over land, they took mountainous areas. They went in, they sowed their seed. God learned them how to be producers of food, how to be builders of city, how to know commerce, all of this stuff. And then they start to turn to other gods. You talk about a transformation from Egypt to the promised land. And now they turn to other gods. They said they'd done evil in the eyes of God. And the gods that they turned to were despicable in God's eyes. There was one God that they worshipped called Molech. And Molech asked for the sacrifice of children. And here's now God's people worshipping these very gods. So God allowed them and brought them into slavery. And they were oppressed. And they were hiding away in caves. They were like rats scurrying from cave to cave. This was the people that were transformed. Well, now they were in a place where the Midianites would come and oppress them. Where the Midianites would come, and every time something was going well, this enemy of God's people would come in and crush them. Like locusts, they would come in and they would devour absolutely everything. A bit like when all the mad cousins come at Christmas. Only joking. They were pummeled into the ground. The cost to their lifestyle was immense. But the cost psychologically was immeasurable. That these were now the people of God. And someone had an idea. Let's cry out to God again. Can you imagine people saying, he won't listen to us. Who told you God doesn't listen to you? Whoever told you that? Someone started saying, Lord, forgive us. I know we turned away to false gods. Lord, will you please hear us? And it says that God sent the prophet. And the prophet starts speaking to them. See, they had a law because of what happened. Their sight of God was low. And God sent the prophet in to start to stir them up. Do you remember me? I am the God who tackled Pharaoh, who brought the power of Pharaoh to nil, who reduced him to dust. I am the God who brought you out, provided for you in the desert. I am the God that sent bread in the day and quail in the evening. I am the God that caused water to come out of rock. Remember me, I'm the same God. I'm the God who transformed you then, and I'm the God who will transform you now. A.W. Tozer, one of the best writers and preachers of his time, of all time. He said, a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils. But a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. He says, well, when you have a low view of God, can God do this? Can God do that? God has not heard me. God is not for me. God is what made me. All the low view of God. But when you take a high view of God and you read the word and you see who he really is, you can stand with confidence saying, oh, God says he will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, he's with me. Therefore, I can tackle, I can face, I can move forward. When you have a high view of God, it's not will God provide for me. It's when God provides for me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The Lord started by sending the prophet the transforming process. God initiated the transformation, not of a nation, but of a man who would lead a nation into transformation. It's amazing. It only takes one person. One person to say, God, change me. Send me. Use me. And God hears that cry. In verse 11, you see God starting to interact with the man called Gideon, whose name means feller of trees. I mean, he cuts trees. It's a very exciting name. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Amizrai. As his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midians, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all these things happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did the Lord not bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us over to the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in the strength that I'm giving you and deliver Israel out of the hands of Midian. Is it not I who am sending you?" Gideon said, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least, and I am the youngest and the least in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not part from here until I come back and bring you an offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then Gideon went and prepared a young goat. He prepared all this food and brought it back, and he laid it down on the stone. Then the angel of the Lord, verse 21, put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished. When Gideon saw that it was the angel of the Lord, he says, "Oh no, Lord my God, I'm going to die because I've seen you face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die." An incredible encounter. Would you not agree? Now here was this man sitting under. He was in doing the wine press, but he wasn't squashing grapes. He was threshing the wheat, which you do not do, because Midian, if the enemy knew anything that was going on, they would wipe them out. And the Lord speaks to him, and he starts the process of transformation. He starts to look at him, and God makes a confession over him. He says, "Gideon, mighty man, or mighty warrior, or valiant warrior." He speaks to him, it all depends what your translation. The Lord looks at him and says, "You're a mighty warrior." And Gideon looks around and goes, "Who, me? Who, me?" Do you remember I said earlier on, what you see with your natural eye is not always the reality. See, the Lord didn't see what he was. The Lord seen who he really was. And we can look at things in our own lives, and we can look at ourselves as messed up, as the least of all people. We can see, well, look at what's God have for me. I'm weak. I'm lame. I'm a wimp. I have done this. I have done that. I've let this person down. I have cursed God. I have broken hearts. Everything that you see with your natural eye is not the reality. You may see yourself as a broken down car, or you may see yourself as a Ferrari. You may see yourself lower than you ought to, or some see themselves higher than you ought to. Either way, the Lord sees you as you really are. The Lord looks in, he doesn't see what we are, but he sees who you are. He made you who you are. He has put something inside of each one of us. And when he speaks to it, we get a fright because we've clothed ourselves with everything else that's not really who we are. Maybe what we are, but not who we are. The Lord sees you, sees who you are, knows the mistakes you've made, and he still says, "Mighty warrior." And he still says, "Man and woman of valor." And he still says, "Beloved and accepted." He still speaks it because he's speaking to who he made you to be. The Lord is with you. You can see Gideon having this fight. No, You don't know my family. You don't know my background. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know what we've got up to. My dad is one of the ones that is worshiping Baal. You don't know us, God. God does know us. God does know us. He does know what we get up to. And he still says, mighty warrior. The Lord says to him, I am with you. What an incredible words to be spoken to anybody. I am with you. Do you know you can face anything if you know God is with you? Do you know you can do anything if you know God is with you? Do you know you can face the biggest giant that you can imagine because God is with you? I was wondering where the transformation really, really started. Was it because God said mighty warrior because he had a battle for that? Or I think it was when God says, I am with you. I'm telling you who you are, and I'm going to walk every step of the way with you, Gideon. I'm telling you who you really, really, really are. Not the masks you wear, or the coat you wear, or what people say you are, what you even say you are, what I say, and I'm going to be with you all the rest of the way. What incredible, inspirational words for anyone to hear. He was saying to him, no longer, because he was inspired, no longer was he going to be this crippled in his mind. No longer was he going to cripple his future because of the way he saw himself. Because God is with him. The inspiration that passed over into from being an invalid to being someone who was inspired. It's incredible power when you see someone who is inspired. I've been reading up on a man called Douglas Bader. There's been a film made about him. Douglas Bader. Bader was around in 1931, 1933. He became a pilot in the RAF. He was one of these men, one of these leaders that people would do anything for him. Some of his men that was in his squadron says, we would go anywhere, do anything because of Bader. He would get up on the wings of his plane and he would rally the troops to get into their cockpits and to go and take the airspace. They said they would do anything for him. Before the war started, Bader was flying in the RAF and they were doing all tricks that they do in planes. He was coming low and he tried to do a roll. He said it was a bad decision because he crashed. He lost both of his legs in that crash. He gets into hospital. You can imagine the psychological damage that losing something like being active and now not being active. Being a leader now in a hospital. He retrained his mind. He refreshed himself in flying. And he went back to the RAF and he says, I want to get back in the cockpit again. They said no. 1939, the war broke out. He says, I want to come back, and they bring him back. No legs. I want to fly. I want to go again. He led bombing raids over Europe. He fought for the skies of Great Britain. He fought, believe me, I was thinking of this. He was a hero of World War I in Great Britain. He stopped Hitler's army. Taking Britain. And I believe this, that if he wouldn't have done that, we'd be all probably speaking German today. Because Hitler wouldn't stop for neutrality, believe me. So we can all hold this man in a bit high esteem. He gets shot down over, he gets busted up in a plane over Europe, he jumps out. No legs. He had prosthesis. He had prosthesis. He left one of his legs in the plane. This is the truth. He gets caught by the Germans. He gets put in a concentration camp. During World War I, there was a tremendous... they had a code of ethics that changed in World War II. But the code of ethics where there was a lot of honor. You remember, they stopped war at Christmas and all. There was just all these ethics that was in World War I that didn't cross over or were soon banished or intruded upon in World War II. But he's lying in bed, and one of these German pilots, one of the famous ones, come to see him. He knocked on his door. He wasn't in bed. He had escaped. One leg. I'm like trying to picture this in my mind. They catch him a couple of times. He tried to escape. They made special allowance for Bader. They sent a message to Britain. Will you drop him in a leg? Parachute the leg in, they did. To Bader. He tried to escape another couple of times and they put him in Colditz Castle, later to be released by later to be released by the U.S. Army. When Bader finished war, they allowed him, when the war was over, they allowed him to fly the airplane and lead a big squadron. When he was retired, he went around hospitals and he'd speak to people who had amputations. He would inspire them to keep going. And they said to him, "What made you go back up there? What made you retrain yourself after losing your legs? What made you want to join the RAF? What made you want to take on the Battle of Britain?" He says, "Because they said I was an invalid, an invalid man, but I decided that I was going to be an inspired man." And he says, "I was inspired to go up and fight for my country. I was inspired that my children would not be brought into captivity." He said, "I was an inspired man." Gideon was inspired because God said, "I will be with you even to the end." Listen to a quote by Bader. He says, "Listen, don't listen to anyone who tells you that you can't do this or do that. That's nonsense," he said. "Make up your mind that you'll never use crutches, you'll never walk on a stick, then have a go at everything. Go to school, join in all the games you can, go anywhere you want, but never, 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 never let them persuade you that things are too difficult or things are too impossible for you." Listen to the way the scripture says it, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. "Go into the end of the age because I will be with you," says Jesus. He says again, "Nothing is impossible for those who believe." Can you imagine the inspiration that Gideon was now feeling in the transformation of God saying, "No, I can do it. God is with me. God is for me." And he says to God, "Give me a sign. Not a sign that you're there. Not a sign that I'm testing you. But God just loves giving time, giving signs. If you need a sign whether God is real, ask him. I don't have to prove God to you. God will prove God to you. I don't have to convince you that he's real. I want to. I'll show you. I live it. But he'll show you. He's God." I remember when I first became a Christian, or on my way to becoming a Christian, I might have just become a Christian. And my friend always says to me, Finn O'Finley, always said, ask God. Ask him and he'll give you a sign. And I was working in the bookies at the time in Ringsend. And the manager said to me and my friend, if your legs are only on Saturday, use two. He said, you can go home. So we were under pressure not to be late. The number three bus, if anyone knows anything about Ringsend, is from hell. If you're waiting on it. I got around the corner. It was about 9:15 or thereabouts. And like I was well in time. Didn't have to be into 10. There was one due at 9:20. And I'm waiting there. Loads of people at the bus stop, meaning that the other buses didn't come. That was prior to me. And we were waiting there for ages. I'm looking at my watch saying, oh no, I'm going to be late. I says, God, if you're there, will you send the bus? Now, that was an easy one, wasn't it? Like you say, oh no, yeah, of course the bus was going to come. There's about 5 of them late. Still waiting there, God, send the bus. Around the corner, send the bus. A moment later, a car pulls up, a red BMW. That's what I remember it being. And this fella's pointing, and I say to a girl, I think a man wants you. And she says, he doesn't want me, I think he wants you. So I walk over beside him, and he goes, oh, I thought you were someone else. And he says, where are you going? I said, Ringsend. He says, hop in. I jumps into the car and I said, thank you, Lord. You didn't send me a bus. You sent me a chauffeur. He didn't send a bus. He sent the chauffeur. Ask him. I knew it was God. If a bus would have come around, I'd have still thanking him. But the chauffeur came around in the red BMW and away we go. Ask him. The Lord doesn't mind giving you a sign. He said, Gideon, here's a sign. There's fire. Fire was always the symbolism of God being with them in the Old Testament. That the sacrifice was acceptable. That the sign and the asking of it was acceptable. The transformation going on all the time. And then he says, now Gideon, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to get up. It's found in verse 25. I want you to go to your dad's house and see those poles that they're worshipping. See those devils they're worshipping. See the altar that your dad has set up. I want you to go there and I want you to pull them down. He was saying, now you know I'm with you. Now you know I called you a warrior. Now you know there's a transformation going on. Now I want you to take the first step. I want you to go to your own house and clean up your own house. I don't want you to go to Israel first before cleaning your own place. I want you to sort out what's in that place and then you have a platform to shoot off into Israel. Go back. Put your right step, your first step forward, your best step forward, and put things right. It's an amazing principle. Put things right in your own house. People want to save the world and their stuff is not right in their own house. People want to do A, B, and C, and they're not even doing D. Or B, C, and D. People, put your sex life right. Put your finances right. Put your wife right. Put your husband right. Put your relationships right. Put your forgiveness stuff out there. Put it right. Take the first step. Very practical. Take the first. Gideon said, the Lord says again, go back to your own house. Rip down that altar. And we move on from there. Take it down. Rip it down. Gideon, you want to jump it? No, you're not jumping it. Because there was a bigger victory at stake. And he says, but I have to start here. Guys, can I tell you, God sees you as a mighty warrior. But he'll say to you, look at your own life first. Not in an introspective way of things that you get depressed in. But the Lord is speaking to you even now. The Lord is preparing you all the week. What's the Lord been churning up inside of you? Deal with the anger now. Deal with the frustrations now, because I've bigger victories for you. Deal with the addiction now. I've bigger fishes for you. Deal with what the mindset that you think, I'm no good, I'm little, I'm low, I'm low. Before you know it, a snake is higher than you. Deal with it now. Don't give someone else advice about their house if there's something going on with your own house that you're not sorting. Don't tell someone to stop sinning if you're sinning. Put it right. Here's the reason why. God has something bigger for you. God has something greater for you. Oh, but no, you haven't got what I have. I know I haven't, but God is with you. Get inspired. Go take the heights. Take the mountains. Because God is with you. Do you know what they called Gideon after he pulled down these altars? He got a name change. It wasn't Tree Feller anymore. It was Jerubbaal. Meaning him who fights with Baal, the great God, and succeeds. His name got changed. He wasn't Gideon now. He was Warrior Gideon. It wasn't Gideon, cut me down a tree. It was Warrior, will you pull me down an altar? It wasn't Gideon, will you go and get some sticks for the fire? It was, will you call down the fire of God into this situation? It wasn't, was Gideon, will you go and hide? It was Gideon, will you come to the battle line? Amazing. A changeover, a transformation. Because he realized God says something that is true and God was with him. He became a man who wasn't only transformed, but he also brought transformation to Israel. I can't go into the whole story, it would take too much time. But basically, he rallies the men and says, come on, we take down Midian. And he has 30,000 men. And God sends 29,700 home. He says, Gideon, that army's too big. Send them home. Against like 250,000 or something of Midian. Because he says, I'm the Lord that's with you. And I will have the victory in this. That you won't jump around saying, I'm a great army. That you will jump around saying, am I a great God? And he ends up, he gets the victory. And he ends up saying to him, Gideon, will you be our king? Will you be our ruler? And he declined the rulership of Israel. He says there's only one king and he's God. It was before the kings. Kings came after judges. But he said there's only one king of Israel and it's God. And he says, I will not take the place of God. Now, can you imagine what this church would be like if you believe that God says who you really are? Will you imagine what we would be like if God says you're a warrior and we believe it and we stepped into being warriors? Can you imagine when God says, I am with you, and imagine what type of an individual you would be if you know that God is actually with you? Imagine what a tribe we would be as Liberty. We would take this city if we realized that God says, you are a mighty warrior. 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 But you don't know, I'm the least of my clan. You are a mighty warrior. Who told you you're not? What circumstance told you you're not? Who told you you're no good? Who told you you'll never make it? It wasn't God. Because he's saying the opposite. Can you imagine what we would be like if we believed and took hold of our future? Can you imagine if what your family would be like if one man or woman says, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to be the person that opens the door for you to come into my family." Can you imagine? What did Neil Armstrong say? One small step for man, a giant step for mankind. One step for man, but a giant leap for mankind. Can you imagine what one person here, when they say, "Yes, Lord," you think it's a small step, but it's a giant step. Gideon thought, "Oh yeah, I'll go out and start my own family out." He thought it was one step, but the Lord said, "No, I have a bigger step. That's just the first step. One baby step, Gideon. All right, Lord." And Lord even allowed him to go in the night time. He even allowed him to go when no one could see him. It was a small step. What small step could you take today? What small step could you take? I'm sick and tired of being knocked back. I'm sick and tired of hiding away in the wine press. I'm sick of living in caves. I'm sick of looking at myself this way. What's the one step you could take today? I don't want you to take the nation. Just one step. What could it be? Imagine a church where everyone takes small steps. Imagine a church where people put themselves right with God and their families right with God. Imagine a church that goes home to their house and they start looking at what's in their house and they go, "That doesn't honor God at all." Imagine a church that looks at their own life and says, "Hey, the way I look at a brother or sister is not honoring God at all." Imagine, I remember when we became a Christian, a bit radical, I know. I became a Christian. I loved sitting in my room up in Dolphins in the flats. I had a little room I painted dark green because I was a real bright fellow. Painted dark green with all these things on the wall. Sitting there depressed, listening to music of people that were dead. I don't know why I always listen to dead people singing. Sitting there, getting out of my face and listening to dead people. No woman, no cry. My goodness. I used to turn on, no, I won't say. What could transform someone's mind? I come into a realization that God loves me, God is for me, God is with me, God wants to transform my life. I go back to my flat. I had built up a collection of tapes way back when. I used to go into Virgin Megastore there on the keys. I'd go to the basement book it. I'd buy CD or tapes for £1. I didn't care who they were. Johnny and the No Fingers. I go to my mates. "Have you ever heard of Johnny and the No Fingers?" "No, you don't know what music is." Off the head. I become a Christian. I'm sitting there one night. I walked into the room. I said, "All yous are gone." Honestly, hundreds of pounds of a collection. Sheridan went to bed. I lit the fire. Tapes. For the night. Tapes. Tapes all night. I could hear them. You know, if you're born the tape, it goes. Wee! I was like, "There's demons in those tapes." I'm glad I born in them. I goes over to the chipper while the fire was still lying. It was like a train. The fire that was coming out of the chimney on the top of the flats. Do you know what? How silly it may sound, those stupid tapes could have pulled me back to worship things that I turned away from. That simple music could have easily pulled me. Remember you were stoned. Remember that night. You know the way it always throws up the good times. Now remember the time I was depressed a bit. Remember the time I couldn't find anyone to give me a penny. Remember the times I lied, robbed and stealed on my girlfriend and on other people. It doesn't throw up them. All we throw is up no woman, no cry. Remember all clapping. I burnt every single stinking one of them. And I tell you, everyone that went, I was finding freedom. I didn't know her at the time. I'm not saying go home and burn your CDs. Give them to me. I'll mind them for you. But I'm saying if there's something that you know in your life, in anywhere, get rid of it. Just start with it. Start today with your own mind. "Lord, I've been looking at you low." Get out. I'm taking a high view today. Lord, I just thought you didn't care about us anymore. Did you not know what Midian was done? See, God didn't leave Israel. Israel left God. And yet you were blaming God and everything. God saying, hey, I didn't move. I'm still here for you. If it's something in your heart that you know that God has been dealing with you today, come on, it's over here. Let's stand, guys. We've lots of time. The worship team, unless you don't need to come back, come back. I mean, if God is speaking to you, don't come back. And I purposely flew through all these. Here's the big idea. Here's the main point. God wants to transform you. And God is able. And not only does he want to transform you, but when you take the baby steps, the first steps, he will use you to be a transformer. God wants to do something in your heart today. And maybe if we can just zone everyone else out, maybe that might be by just closing your eyes and just giving that person beside you just that space, a new space for yourself. Maybe you need a sign from God. He knows what you know will be from him. It might be something simple. It might be the next sentence said, and you know, no, I know that's God speaking to me. It could be anything. But God will know what you know is between you and him. Do you get me? But maybe you're at the first part of call for the transformation. Maybe you're like, man, I didn't even know I was doing wrong in God's eyes. But then again, you're Irish and you're Dublin. You do know you've done wrong in God's eyes. And the first part of call is to call out to him like those Israelites and say, God, forgive me. Just in your heart, you can say, God, I realize that I've done things wrong. I've sinned against you. And I want transformation to begin in my life today. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I accept that Jesus died on the cross so that I could have forgiveness. I accept that forgiveness. And I ask you, Father, to fill me up with the power of the Holy Spirit that brings transformation into my life. Because he wants to speak to us. You're a mighty warrior. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at yourself and saying, who, me? I can't measure up to anything. Look at the weights that I'm bringing in with me. Look at the baggage that I have. Look at my background, my upbringing, my sin, my failures. Stop doing that today and listen. You are a mighty warrior in God's eyes. You are someone who God loves. You're someone who God sent the Son to die for. You're someone who Jesus bled for. You're someone who Jesus rose from the dead for. You're someone who God's promised that when Jesus rose from the dead, he would send his Spirit to live in you. I'm not going to live under a rock anymore. I'm going to stand on the mountaintop. And the first step, the first baby step, is to say, yes, Lord, I want that. The first step is to say, yes, Lord. And just why everyone's zoned out in their own world before God, maybe say, no, here's my hand. I want to be that person. I want to be transformed. I want to start on the transformation process of God. Thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? I see your hand at the back. I see your hand. See your hand. It's before God. You're not impressing me by in any sense, but just being real before God. Thanks. Just being real before God. God, I don't understand everything, but all I know is that he read from your Bible, and I believe that to be true. And he says, you can transform lives. Well, here I am. Every hand, Lord, has come up. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would touch, Lord. You would touch. You would fill. It may be the step that we need to take, and there's others that need to take steps. But you know what God spoke to me all the week? I'm maturing the church now. I'm maturing you. I'm maturing you. I'm maturing you. I'm going to mature you. I'm going to cause you to grow. where I know about every growth, where it comes with every growth is a step. And you need to step out of where you're at. Say, Lord, I want to be a grown person. You need to be someone that just says, Lord, here I am. Take that step. I'm not going to be an immature Christian. I'm not going to be an immature person. I want to be someone that follows through on what you have. And maybe you're here and you say, Lord, I know what I need to get rid of. Can I encourage you, as a step, step out to the front and we pray for you. I know what I need to get rid of. Bring it to the front. Bring it to the front. This is where I'm leaving. This is it, Lord. This is where I'm bringing, Lord. This is my step. This is my faith step. I know what I need to do, not just in the negative. You've been holding back your life and your gifts and your skills. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm bringing them. I'm taking that step. I've been hurt before, but I'm taking that step. I've been let down before, but I'm taking that step. Lord, I'm looking into my life. I'm looking into my life. And I know what I need to get rid of. I know what I need to put right in this house. Put it right today. No, what if I fall back tomorrow? Let tomorrow take care of itself. Put it right today. I'm trusting in God. A young woman that prays for me constantly sent me a text last night. She says, Noel, there's someone going to be in church this morning. God told me. And it's a person who has had an abortion. And that person needs to know that there's forgiveness. That person needs to know that when they ask God for forgiveness, He will forgive. And therefore, you have to forgive yourself. Please leave it this morning. Please accept this forgiveness this morning. Please take the step of faith in saying, God, I believe that you're a forgiver. And that, Lord, I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you to heal my heart. I ask you to heal my mind. So that, Lord, I can be transformed from someone who hates themselves to someone who forgives. To someone who doesn't carry it on. This is your morning, my friend. This is your morning. Do you know, I was thinking earlier on that you could just take that means a woman alone. And as we were worshiping, I just felt the Lord saying, no, include men in that. But you've taken part. You've even encouraged abortion. And you can't forgive yourself. There's forgiveness today. There's forgiveness today. There's transformation this day. There's people that are here and you want to say this to God. You want to say, God, I don't want to be just someone who's transformed for the sake of it. But I want to be someone who is used to bring transformation. Step out. That's what Gideon had to do. If there's loads at the front, if you're battling with that, just step to the side. Just step to the side of where you're at. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Father, I pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would brush through this place, Lord. That, Lord, the fresh wind of heaven would blow, Lord. Father, that would call today. It would call the warriors, Father God. It would call the warriors, oh God. It would call them out, Father God. Father, each one would know, Lord, that you're with them right where they're at, Lord. That you are with them, Father God. That you will never leave nor forsake. That, Father, cause us to move out of this place an inspired people, oh God. That, Father, we will not be invalids in our mind, Father, but we would be inspired men and women, oh God, that says, I will not listen to anyone or anything that says this is impossible. For I know, Lord, nothing is impossible for those who believe, oh God. Nothing, Lord. And I ask that you'd put steel in our back, Lord, that we would be men and women that stand even in the face of storms and says, if God says it, I believe it. If God says it, I believe it. If God says it, it shall be. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands to worship. Start relating to God. start connecting with them. Some of us is in link groups and SAS. Do you want to come and stand with someone up here and start praying? Start calling the warrior. We love you, Lord. If you need to leave something, leave it. Leave it. Leave it. Pull it down. Put it under your feet. No more. I say no more to that this day. Amen. You know what I feel like? I feel like Ezekiel. And he's up on the top of the hill, the Bible says. And he looks into the valley. And the Lord says to him, what do you see? And Ezekiel says, what he's seen with the natural eye. He says, I see a valley of bones. But God's seen something different. God's seen a valley full of valiant warriors. Now he says to Ezekiel, you start speaking what you hear me saying. He said, you start speaking into the valley and calling the warriors to come to the front. And it says at the end of Ezekiel, it says that a mighty army stood up. A mighty, valiant army stood up. And I pray in the name of Jesus, come alive. Stand up. Take your place. Come out the warrior. Let the warrior of God, of who you truly are, come to the fore and step to the front and say, Lord, I'm awaiting my orders. Lord, I am for you. Lord, I will give you my all. Lord, I will not be silent. Lord, I will not play low living. I will not live in a black and white dream, Lord. I will live in full technicolor, Lord God, because you've called me, Lord. Father, I leave depression off of me. I leave it off of me. In the name of Jesus, arise, mighty army. Arise, mighty army. Your family is waiting. Your community is waiting. Arise, mighty army. The city of Dublin is waiting. Arise, mighty army. The island of Ireland is waiting. Arise, mighty army. The continent of Europe is waiting on us. Arise, mighty army. The world stage is waiting on what's to come out of Liberty Church. Arise, mighty army. Arise, mighty army. I take my place. I reach out to the future. I take hold of my future in God. And I put it into myself. And I say, you are mine. I say, God has given it to me. And I will walk with him because I know he is with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.